If fear is the only thing stopping us from achieving our dreams, and we only fear what we don't understand, then the antidote to fear is knowledge. All we have to do is find out who has the knowledge that we need to conquer our fears and achieve our entrepreneurial dreams. My name is Callum Walker, and welcome to the podcast that will help you figure it out and conquer this lonely entrepreneurial journey.
Everyone, and welcome to the podcast. So today, you might notice that the audio is just sensational today. It is sensational. And you want to know why? Because I have been really focusing on leveling up my content game. And by leveling up my content game, I almost kind of mean kind of in two ways. The first way in terms of, first of all, the actual quality of the content. So that naturally starts with improved audio. So naturally, you know that I record a lot of these in the car or on a walk. So me recording it where I am right now allows me to really kind of make this so much better. Do you know what I mean? But secondly, I think the main thing that I'm really trying to do is I think that this is probably the most important part when it comes to creating your content is really figuring out a way that you can make it sustainable and you can be consistent. So that's why I've always really enjoyed doing these down the canal or doing these while driving, probably because I'm going on that walk or I'm driving anyway. So naturally, I might as well talk to myself and record something of use to fill the time. So that's always been something that's been important. But I think the question that I've been trying to ask is how can I improve the quality of my content while also staying consistent? Or even ramping up my ability to be consistent. So how can I consistently improve? And what have I done? Well, I was like, right, at the moment, what works in terms of the way in which I'm creating my content? Well, what works is that I'm going on a walk. I can be consistent with that. I'm driving. I can be consistent with that. What's the problem with that? Potentially, the quality of the audio is poor. And also, I can't really get many clips from a short form content perspective in terms of, especially when I'm driving, like I can't really kind of clip up because then I'd have to look at the camera while I'm driving, which obviously is unsafe. So I've really kind of asked myself the question of, okay, what is going to be a way that I can do this in a similar sort of fashion? So I've come downstairs and my kitchen, as I'm sure you'll probably see from like the new clips that I've got on my social media, on my Instagram anyway, my kitchen is really, really bright. Like it's really super bright. And what's fantastic about that is that the lighting's really quite cool and I've got a pretty nice backdrop. Now, the camera that I have on my desktop computer is also of excellent quality and instead of having to fork out for a brand new mic, I already have one that I use for all of my my coaching calls with my clients anyway. So what I've done is that I've just come down into my kitchen, which is really nice and bright. I've got a nice little backdrop and I'm recording this. So I've got 20 minutes to kind of, say 20 minutes. I've probably got about 45 minutes before my next work block begins. And I'm like, right, okay, I've got some high energy right now because I've just come off the back of a fantastic coaching call with my next double coach members and also a couple of my elite coach guys. And my energy is high. Now, normally this is when I'd go for a walk and then go and do a podcast. But the thing is, it is shitting it down with rain. So as much as I would love to go out and do it, it is actually far more appealing to just bring my desktop down here. I'm sat here at the kitchen and I'm recording my content. How fantastic is that? So yeah, so there is a little lesson in terms of what I think could really, really help you in terms of your content. If you're really struggling to create content consistently, I think that the most important thing is really getting clear on what you want to talk about. So I'm sure that, you know, if you've been following this podcast for quite some time, this is effectively just a dear diary. This is just kind of a dear diary of this is what I get up to, this is what I struggle with, this is the challenges, this is what's been particularly successful to me. Now, why is that of high value? Well, because I'm a big believer. I was listening to Rick Rubin talk about this, where he was saying, I'm creating my content for me. I'm not creating it for them. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't necessarily mean that I'm not creating this content for you. I actually am creating this content for you because my ideal client, the ideal clients that I am looking to work with is me. Me 5 years ago, me 3 years ago, me 2 years ago, 1 year ago, me yesterday. Because I really do believe that truthfully, the best way for you to figure out who you want to work with and the best types of clients are people who have a very similar story to you. And really, when it comes to your coaching, your movement, your community, everything that you stand for, really it comes about being a case of just helping other people who've been in a similar sort of situation to you, who have similar values to you, overcome problems that you've overcome previously, and showcasing them a path to success. So really, it's about us making sure that we're a walking advertisement for not only the results that our client can get, but also the person that they can become. And I found that when you really kind of start to look at your niche that way, as opposed to your niche being a profession, or I work with busy professionals, entrepreneurs, or whatever, I actually think that your niche needs to be centered around the values of the individual. So you actually need to understand who is this person and actually know them as a person, not as a job title. So that's why I'm creating this content for me, because if you've really resonated with a lot of the things that I've spoken about on the episodes, whether it's been challenges with self-doubt, imposter syndrome, getting results with my clients, growing my business, then yeah, I've done my job. Because really, I want this podcast to be a place that is solely for you to feel heard, feel understood, and be like, yeah, it's so nice to not be the only person experiencing this problem. And that's what I want this to be. So yeah, I got high energy, had a great call, and I was like, I'm just going to come down and film a podcast episode, which is fantastic and so much fun. So what am I going to talk to you about today? Well, I think that first thing, I want to talk about low-carb diets in the sense of, why do I think they're so important to you as a fitness coach? And firstly, because they're different. And I think the thing that we need to realize when it comes to our future clients and our ideal clients is that they don't want more of the same. They don't even want better. What they want is that they want different. Because the problem is that, like, your clients, they've heard it all before. They've heard the same spiel. I see all of these personal trainers and coaches and go, well, if you're not losing weight, it's because you're not in a calorie deficit. I'm like, well, they've heard that. Like, that, how is that helping your clientele? It's not. Because all you're effectively doing is pointing the finger at them, saying that if you're not losing weight, it's your fault, not the plan's fault. And saying that if you're not losing weight, it's because you're not in a calorie deficit is the exact same as me saying, if you're not making a success of your business right now, it's because the amount of money going out of your business is more than the amount of money going in your business. How is that helping? It's not helping anyone. So I think we need to really make sure that when it comes to the information that we're putting over to people, that it's something different, that it's something useful, and it's something that they haven't really heard before, because that makes you attractive. And that's why, part of the reason why I always had a big preference towards kind of positioning myself as a coach who uses low-carb diets, because they were different. And I think that this is a really, really key thing when it comes to really being able to stand out from the crowd as a personal trainer or as an online coach or a gym owner or whatever. Because this industry is very, very saturated, but I don't believe it's competitive, because everyone is saying the same thing. And I think the thing that we need to realize is that your clients have heard it all before. Potential clients have heard it all before. They've gone to Weight Watchers and they've been told, in order to lose weight, you've got to count your points. So they go to Slimming World. In order to lose weight, you've got to count your sins. They go to a PT. The PT says, in order to lose weight, you've got to count. And they go to a new online coach. This online coach says, we don't count calories, we don't do sins, we track these mystical things called macros. And it's like, your clients are tired of hearing that in order to get into shape, you've got to count shit. And I saw a post from a personal trainer the other week saying, you don't know how many calories you're consuming in a day, you're never going to get in shape. I couldn't tell you how many calories I eat in a day. Ever. The longest I've been able to track is lunchtime, because, you know, our nutritional approach really needs to be centered around the personality of our client. So in order to really understand what personalized nutrition is, I think we need to understand what personalized nutrition isn't. Personalized nutrition is not a tailored macro target that you've just plucked out of thin air. That's not what it is. Personalized nutrition is about understanding the person. So it's really about putting the personal into personal training. So how do we do that? Well, I think one first thing is to understand what approach is going to be best for them. So if I've got a client who is heavily data-driven, let's say they're a real tech geek or they're an accountant or whatever, they love numbers. Using MyFitnessPal is perfect for them. It will get their nipples so hard and they will love it. Give it to me, someone with ADHD and the attention span of a gnat, the longest I've been able to track to is lunchtime. I've got loads of things going on in my life. So if you then go and ask me that now need to go and take a photo of every single piece of food that I'm eating and plug it into an app and then be shit scared if I go over some number that you've actually made up. Like, my missus already goes on about me not being able to be organized and think about this, and then you go and give me one more thing to think about. I'm just going to turn to a puddle. I'm not going to do it. So I think we need to really ensure that there is a difference between knowing what to do and doing what needs to be done. So yes, your client needs to stay on track with their food, but our job is not to tell them what to do, it's to help them do what they need to do. So we need to remember that, like, you know, our clients can get everything that we tell them to do for free on the internet. So they're not paying for information, they're paying for that implementation. They're paying for us to help them actually put something into practice that fits into their life. And I think that's partly what effective coaching is, which is understanding the individual, understanding what they need, understanding what their problems are, their challenges are, their difficulties, and then help them overcome those specific challenges, not just tell them what to do. So where does the low carb side of things kind of tie in? Well, again, I come back to every other coach is telling all of their clients solely just to count calories, track macros, and give them a protein target. It's the same. Whereas when I used to coach, people would come to me and I would say, by the way, we're not going to count points. We're not going to track macros. We're not going to weigh your food out. I'm not going to give you a calorie target. And you're going to eat cheese, cream, butter, bacon, sausage, all of the things that you have been told that you can't eat in order to lose weight. I'm going to tell you, we're going to do them. Because if you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you always got. So naturally, how that positioned me was that I was saying that if you haven't had success previously, it's not your fault. You didn't fail. The plan failed you. And I think this is the arrogance of the industry, that its first port of call is pointing the finger at our potential client and saying that if you haven't lost weight, it is your fault. Now, that isn't attractive and that isn't particularly helpful to people because you're putting the blame on someone else. And also, they've heard it all before, which means that they're constantly just hearing, oh, in order to lose weight, I got count stuff. In order to lose weight, I got count stuff. In order to lose weight, I got count stuff. And I've tried counting stuff. So therefore, if I've tried counting stuff and the only way to lose weight is to count stuff and to eat low calorie foods, and I failed, that makes me a failure. Whereas coming at it from the low carb perspective, it's different. It is very, very, very different. Not to mention it is far more effective than sticking someone on a low-fat diet. It really kind of makes me laugh because I hear all of these personal trainers, coaches, or whatever who say, there's never been a study that shows that when low-carb and low-fat diets are put together and compared with one another and protein is equal and calories are equal, there's never been a study that shows that low-carb is better than low-fat. And then I go and look in my database and I go, but I've got 62 that show this. And I also have a 10,000 word PhD proposal that shows loads of studies that actually show a low carb diet is superior to a low fat diet. Because the thing that never made sense to me was that, you know, the sole way that is kind of taught for people to lose weight is to lower their calories. How do you do that? By lowering their fat intake. Now, what never made sense to me was if I lower my fat intake, that then means I have to up my carbohydrate intake. Now, when it comes to losing body fat, the most important thing really is about regulating insulin, because insulin is effectively the door to your fat reserves. You stimulate insulin, you shut the door to your fat reserves. You bring insulin down, you open the door up. Now, carbohydrates stimulate insulin. Insulin impairs my ability to burn fat. So if I want to burn fat, why would I then eat the foods that stimulate the hormone that stop me from burning fat? That doesn't make sense. And when we look at fat, for example, fat is the food that stimulates insulin the least. And it is, yeah, fat is the food that stimulates insulin the least. So why would I stop eating the food that provides me with nourishment but stimulates the hormone that stops me from burning fat the least to lose weight? Never made sense to me. Now, I remember the first time I stumbled across low-carb diets was in my second year of university. And they had this study, and basically they got, it was in an athletic setting, but they got two groups. They got one group which was very high carb, and then they basically took these people, put them into a new group, and then took them very low carb. So effectively what they did was that for the first 7 days, they got these guys to cycle every single day, 7 days. And they were eating a high carb diet. And what they were basically doing was measuring what source of fuel the body was primarily using. So these guys were naturally eating a high amount of carbohydrates. So off the back of that, it meant that they were burning carbohydrate for that 7 day period. Then they got the same guys to cycle every day for 7 days, but they stuck them on a ketogenic diet for the first 6 days of those 7 days. And what they did was that they measured that naturally fat became the primary source of fuel in the body because they were eating a high amount of fat. And on the final day, they then flooded them full of carbohydrates, expecting carbohydrate to then be the primary source of fuel again. But what was really interesting was that even though these guys ate a shed ton of carbs, like 90% of their diet on the final day came from carbs, fat was still the main source of fuel in the body. So effectively, by going on a high-fat diet for a six-day period, they more than doubled their ability to burn fat. Now, the main finding of that research study was actually to do with exercise performance, where they basically reported that when you go low-carb, the exercise performance decreased, which it did, which is obvious because it's only like within 6 days, you're not going to get an adaptation for that long enough period of time. But the thing I took from that was, does that mean if you eat fat, you burn fat? And I got shot down by the professor who was doing it. He's like, that's not the point of the study. The point of the study is that it screws up exercise performance. But in my mind, it really started to make sense because I was like, eat fat to burn fat. Eat carbs to burn carbs. I trained as a sports nutritionist, and the main thing I'd been told was I've got to pump my clients full of carbs because I want them to use carbs as their main source of fuel. And all our food is an instruction to the body what we want it to use. So if I want my body to run on carbs, I'm going to give it a load of carbs. And then I'd just seen a study that showed that if I pump the body full of fat, it's going to start running on fat. So if my goal is to drop body fat, then wouldn't it make sense to start eating more fat and getting the body to run on fat? And again, I just got shot down. Because I think that people are lazy in terms of the application of certain things, and they don't like looking at new ways of thinking that challenge their old ideas. And I think this comes to the main reason why so many people are fearful of adopting low-carb diets. And I'm like, you're stupid, because like, not only is this one thing that, you know, when I stuck my clients on a low-carb diet, they would lose between 10 and 14 pounds every single month, like clockwork, in a long-term and sustainable way. Like, and it makes me laugh when I hear so many people say that low-carb diets don't work, because I'm like, well, how come I've got countless people who I've used low-carb diets with whose type 2 diabetes is reversed, who have lost 6 to 8 stone, who have become an elite performer, and their body composition is better than it ever has been, their athletic performance is better than it ever has been, and they eat less than 50 grams of carbs a day. So where are you getting all of this evidence from to say that low-carb diets don't work? And I think it's ignorant. I think it's really, really ignorant, because there is so much research to showcase how useful these things are. And I also feel that if you're really struggling with your own confidence in terms of the level of nutritional information that you're delivering to your clients, or putting out there on social media, the number one way to develop bulletproof confidence and have pure certainty in what you're talking about and really, really instill the belief that, yes, I believe what I'm talking about, is to apply it on yourself. Absolutely 100% be a walking advertisement that your method works. Because whenever I would have a client who'd be like, it's not working. I'm like, well, it works for me. Like, it works for me. And I know that this works. And yes, everyone is different, but fundamentally, having that pure certainty and confidence that, no, I know that this works because I've tried it on myself and I also have countless other individuals that this has worked with, it gives you that certainty to then really be able to tell your client what they really need to hear and back it up with pure certainty. So I think that one of the biggest frustrations I have is that I have definitely been sucked into the noise sometimes of the industry saying low carb diets don't work, eat a load of carbs. But the problem is, I then get sucked into that and I then go and start eating carbs again. Do you know what happens? I feel bloated, lethargic, sluggish. I start to feel more anxious. I don't sleep particularly well. And when I listen to them, I feel like shit. When I listen to me, I feel great. So I maintain a low carb lifestyle and a ketogenic lifestyle because it makes me feel great. When I follow everyone else's plan, I feel like shit. When I run my business the way that everyone else tells me to run my business goes to pot. When I listen to me and I really trust myself that I know what I'm doing, then everything starts to be successful. So I think that there really does come a point where you have to stop looking externally for your answers and start looking internally and really trusting yourself. So if you've used low-carb diets with your clients, if you've been listening to my podcast, follow me on social media, or have taken any of my free trainings before and you're like, yeah, this really, really makes sense, and you've started to apply it to your clients, just keep going with that. Keep going with that and make your own decision off the back of the feedback and the results that you get. So yeah, I really, really feel that if you can adopt the principles of low-carb diets within your programs, and also within your marketing, it will do two things. First of all, it will make you stand out ahead of everyone else because everyone else is saying the same thing. Everyone is literally saying, in order to lose weight, just get in a calorie deficit. Everyone else gives their clients a protein target and a calorie goal. Everyone else says, in order to lose weight, you've got to count stuff. So you can make yourself very different, and you can also make yourself very appealing because you can showcase to someone that if you haven't got this result previously, it's not your fault. It's because the plan has failed you. I have a new plan. I have a new approach that you haven't tried before. That is very powerful. Very, very powerful in terms of making you attractive. It's also very powerful in terms of the price that you can charge because it's very different and people will pay a lot of money for different. Secondly, it will give you results your clients cannot get from anyone else and no other coach can really get. Because I guarantee all the other coaches who are providing a calorie goal and a protein target do not have the ability to get their clients losing 10 to 14 pounds every single month like clockwork. A ketogenic diet, a low-carb diet, intermittent fasting allows you to have that power. That is unbelievable. And I know that because my clients have got those results over not only the clients that I've worked with over the past 8 years of being a sports nutritionist, but also all of the coaches that I have worked with have experienced the exact same things with their clients. So if you really, really, really want to stand out, you want to take your game to a new level, you want to provide results your clients can't get, and have absolute pure bulletproof confidence that you can guarantee the result that your client is paying for, learn about low-carb diets. Learn about them, learn about ketogenic diets, ignore all of the noise, ignore all of the ignorant personal trainers, fitness gurus who say that it doesn't work, and go all in on understanding it. Because I promise you, it will set you apart from everyone else. But more importantly, it'll give you that self-confidence, that belief that I can deliver. So if you really do want to take your low-carb knowledge to the next level, just DM me at any point the word low-carb and I will send over a free training. It's a five-step training that is all around how you can utilize the power of lowering insulin in your clients to really kind of get the results that I was talking about in terms of really being able to get your clients to lose 10 to 14 pounds every 4 weeks like clockwork. So yeah, so if you do want to get access to that training, just let me know. But yeah, I've really, really enjoyed my new little setup. So I got my own proper podcast studio. So never forget, if every single one of your clients gave you just one new client, you have doubled your business. Question is, are you giving them a good enough reason to recommend you? The answer is no. You know what to do. See you later.